This Focus with Paul W. Smith podcast is sponsored by Victor's Home Solutions. Visit victors.com, experts in home solutions.
Well, I can feel it. I can feel it in my bones, in my heart and soul. I've been traveling, but here I am, and I'm glad to be here. Thanks, Chris, for taking over for us yesterday. Spring is coming. We should have a countdown clock. 11:06 tonight, the March equinox will be happening. That'll be the astronomical beginning of the spring season in the Northern Hemisphere and the autumn season in the Southern Hemisphere. Now, the vernal equinox is going to be here, and it's a little bit confusing because we've had almost a spring-like winter. And certainly people up north who make a living out of skiing and snowmobiling and snowshoeing and cross-country, all that stuff, had a tough, tough time this winter. It was the warmest winter on record. Absolutely the warmest winter on record. That's upsetting to some people. It's not upsetting to me, but it is upsetting to some people. But tonight, 11:06... spring will officially arrive. The vernal equinox, when the sun crosses the celestial equator going south to north. It's called the celestial equator because it's an imaginary line in the sky above the Earth's equator. So may I be of the first to say early, happy spring. We've got the team together. Dave Rieger, Danielle Mason on the controls. Rich Luzinski, WJR Traffic and Weather first. Although, Danielle, do we, in fact, have Dave Rieger?
No, he's in the garage.
Okay.
So he's having fun in there.
Let me tell you what this means.
Okay.
It's official. It's the first day of spring, starting tonight, and that means Dave Rieger has a flat tire on the ninth floor parking structure of the Fisher Building. It's kind of a rite of passage.
Correct, correct.
I'm pretty sure that means six more weeks of winter, right?
Oh!
There's Brian! Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, Dave tapped me in and then ran to his car. I said, get some Fix-A-Flat. He didn't know what that was. I mocked him about that.
He didn't know what Fix-A-Flat is?
No, him and Nick Roddy, neither one knew what Fix-A-Flat was. And it's like, I don't think I'm the old guy. We don't run the car show. It's like, I knew about this. I knew about Fix-A-Flat in the 80s. So.
I want you to know, Kevin Dietz told me about Fix-A-Flat like 2 months ago. I had never heard of it either.
Oh, my goodness gracious. You know why, Brian? Because these kids have not dealt with flat tires the way we used to. Because let's face it, flat tires used to not be so uncommon.
That's true.
Now they're very uncommon. You get those new Bridgestone tires on your car that David Coletti tells us all about, and I have some Bridgestones, they're ironclad. Or we pay more attention to our tires and get rid of them when they start losing tread. I'm not sure what it is, but I think they're better tires,
yeah,
I guess is I think what
you're,
it is.
I think you're right. The technology is way better. But it's still anything rubber could be punctured.
Yep, that's true.
You know, and with all the construction going on, I'm surprised there's not a lot more flat tires around.
Yeah, I've had a lot of people say to me they always pay now for the extra insurance because of all the construction around. It's so much easier to pick up a nail or a screw or something.
Absolutely.
I found a drill bit in the road the other day. I mean, a huge drill bit. That would have caused some real damage if I had run over it. But the people get that insurance because there's insurance you can get now that covers that, covers your tires and replaces them and all of that. And, boy, if you've ever – I remember that really bad winter. I had, like, three flat tires, two at once.
Yep, I remember that.
That's expensive.
Yes.
That's really expensive.
And so Dave, Dave has that insurance on his tires, but
– Oh, he does.
The problem is he's on the ninth floor.
Yeah.
And I went out and looked at it, and you know how our ramps are. You can't tow it down those ramps.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
I can't even imagine a tow truck going around and around and around
exactly.
To get up there in one piece.
And then I went out and looked at the tire with him, and I was like, nope, you can't drive this down. You'll wreck the tire and the rim. So then he went into a blind panic. And
I don't mean to laugh.
No, I get it. We're all sort of laughing here, too. It's like, Dave, this is a minor inconvenience, but when you have it happen to you, it's like it wrecks your day.
It's a major problem.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Brian. Brian, you know, everybody is doing lots more work these days at your place of business and at our place of business. We have more work, fewer people, and so we have people like Brian Morton. And for that matter, Dave Rieger does a lot of jobs. He works 7 days a week.
He does.
Producing all the different shows. And now Brian is not only a producer of a JR Afternoon with Chris Renwick coming up, but also a host for The Car Show. So it's been great to watch. It's been great to watch all along the way. It sometimes may not be great to do because you have so much work. But
Jack of all trades, master of none. That's what I tell people.
You master a lot. I always knew you had it in you, but I didn't know if you would want to do it. You understand?
Then it was thrust upon me.
See, he didn't realize it was going to happen whether he wanted it to or not.
That's exactly what happened.
Welcome to broadcasting. So anyway, Brian, nice to have you here, and I hope Dave's going to be okay.
Thank you. I hope he'll be back soon. I hope he's not, you know. They're thinking wait. 2 hours, like, he can't possibly be gone the whole show for a flat tire, right?
Oh, yes, he can.
Dave can be, yeah.
There are bets being placed behind the scenes here.
There is an air hose, and Danielle tells me it's still down there.
On the first or second floor.
Yeah, it's first floor.
And he couldn't get down that far. Keith's taking him out with a pressure, I forget what you call it, but he's got a way to inflate his tire to get him down there.
So does Danielle. Was that a Christmas present, Danielle, one of those air motos?
It was. I did ask for that for Christmas,
Well, it's a good Christmas present.
Does it work?
You have to remember you have to charge it, though. You have to make sure it's charged or it won't do anything.
I've seen those. I was just never 100% sure would actually inflate my car tire.
Oh, well, yeah.
I have it, and I gave it to some family members, but I can guarantee they have not charged them.
Yeah.
So that God forbid they get a flat tire, they're going to go out there and try to do it. And, Dad said you had to charge this up first. Yeah, it's not going to do anything if you don't do that. All right, couple of quick things. So I wasn't here when former President Donald Trump, warned of the bloodbath. Here's how the news media should be embarrassed, and the news media should be shamed for the way they've handled that quote out of context. I watched him do the speech, and he was talking about a bloodbath in the auto industry if they don't do a 100% tariff on cars made in China or Mexico and then coming here. That's so clearly what he was saying. Now, he's not the best communicator because he started to say, and then he goes into two or three different thoughts because he's not a great communicator. But I'm telling you, he was talking about the car business, not about, well, if you don't like me, it's going to be a bloodbath in America. That's not what he said. Like him, hate him, I don't care. The truth is that the news media and the Democrats, or one and the same, chose to use that to say this is Donald Trump saying there's going to be a bloodbath if he doesn't get elected. What he's really saying is something we ought to pay attention to in Detroit, and that is we already know that our big three are making plans for building more cars in Mexico than ever before. Why? Because of that great UAW contract that somehow in the contract they might have forgotten to say, oh, by the way, you have to build the cars here. Maybe when they were so excited about all the new money they were getting and doubling and tripling everything. Maybe they forgot to say that, but I guarantee you the company said yes to a deal, realizing that their way out to survive is to build more cars away from America. And that's what Donald Trump was talking about. There's a headline under my, I have a file for headlines that I sometimes pass along to you from newspapers and magazines, and it's the head scratchers file. Headlines that are true and true head scratchers. Listen to this headline. Florida hunter shoots man after mistaking him for a turkey. Anybody? Can anybody?
How's that
tell
possible?
Me? That's exactly what I was thinking.
That must be an ugly man.
And small. I mean, how does anyone picture a man out in a field and think he's a turkey enough to shoot him when you're turkey hunting? Anyway, that's the headline. That's the head scratcher. Florida hunter shoots man after mistaking him for turkey. We're underway on this Tuesday, March 19th. Spring is coming at 11:06 tonight, so be ready for it. It's Focus with Paul W. Smith at WJR. And Jim and Cam make it a great weekend. So, as I've said a number of times in the past, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, you're at the right place. WJR, the great voice of the Great Lakes. You can stream us from everywhere at WJR.com, WJR app, or any of the other places that you stream your favorite shows. You stream us, WJR. And for the podcasts, to hear the show, and I know that I'm on from noon to two, and sometimes that's difficult to make plans to be there at that time. So go to thegreatvoice.com when you can't be with us live. Thegreatvoice.com. Find Focus with Paul W. Smith and listen. It matters, and we do care, and we do appreciate it very much. But again, like I said, on the weekend, Jim and Cam on weekends doing a very nice job for you. Speaking of doing a nice job, Marie Osborne does that. And she says, this is kind of interesting news to me, that there are 1 million Michigan residents who are in a classification or category of having rare diseases. That would be a disease which affects 200,000 people or less. That's how it's called, a rare disease. There are 7,000 recognized rare diseases, and the rare disease community is working to establish an advisory council in Michigan which could help lawmakers understand the special needs of that community. WJR senior news analyst Marie Osborne spoke with two mothers who have children with rare diseases and one who is working to establish the council. This is fascinating, Marie. I didn't realize that it's an actual category.
Yeah, it is indeed. 25 other states already have something like a rare disease council. In Michigan, House Bill 4167 has already passed the House, and it's passed out of the Senate Health Policy Committee. Laura Bonnell of the Bonnell Foundation for Cystic Fibrosis says those in the rare disease community find it difficult to have their voices heard in government, and this creates obstacles for treatment, care, and research. She says the bill has already received bipartisan support.
About 19 representatives would be on this council. So when a lawmaker says, is the copay accumulator bill, is that a good thing? Or is step therapy good? Or how about prior authorization? How does that impact you? They'll have all these resources to go to and ask this council of experts.
Bonnell has two adult daughters with CF. She has fought battles for years to gain the recognition needed for advancements in treatments of CF. She says this council would advocate about the common challenges rare disease patients and caregivers face. The council, she says, would be an advisory capacity only.
And the lawmakers, of course, make the decisions. People on this rare disease advisory council would have no legal standing. Just a council that gives input.
The bill would ultimately help parents like Emmy Hicks of Chesterfield Township. She has two children, ages 6 and 8, who have a rare genetic disease called Lees.
Basically, in their brain, the enzyme that breaks down sugar, it's broken, basically, and it turns sugar into lactic acid, which affects all nerve function. There's no cure for Lees.
So basically, Paul, what would happen is that somebody like Emily Hicks would actually have a voice, so to speak, at the table in Lansing when some important decisions were being made about medical coverage for people with rare diseases.
Very interesting, Marie. Most of us would not know that unless we had someone in the family with what has been called a rare disease. I'm just happy to hear you bring up Laura Bonnell to our family of listeners. The name sounds familiar because Laura Bonnell is a former WJR News family person. She was on this radio station for a number of years, and we all were pulling for her then little girls with cystic fibrosis because, remember, kids with cystic fibrosis not that many years ago did not live very long. So I am thrilled to hear you say that she now has two grown adult children who have been living with cystic fibrosis, and the moves in the medical community that they've obviously made to be able to extend lifetimes.
Oh, absolutely. And those two little girls that we knew are now young women who are extremely successful. One is a fashion designer who lives in England, by the way. I mean, they were both went to college and they're very successful in their fields. And the idea is that you can bring that kind of outcome to a lot of other families who are faced with problems. Now, in the case of Emily Hicks that we just talked about, her two children don't have a long life expectancy. But what this may help is for them to get the kind of resources they need to make their lives better for the time being.
I'm telling you, I had no idea. And this is so great that you've brought this to our attention, especially since there are considered to be 1 million Michigan residents who fall into this category of rare disease. Is it because it's under 200,000 people, which therefore doesn't attract the attention for the concern and the fundraisers and the telethons and the radiothons and all of that?
Exactly, 100%. When you have, an unusual or rare form of muscular dystrophy, let's say, but a different form of it, you don't have the resources available. When Laura started her foundation, there were very few resources available for people who got this diagnosis and for parents who got this. She said, you didn't know anything. She gives the example that you don't even know what a PICC line is. A PICC line is something that's used to deliver medication internally to patients. But she said, you know, I had to go look that up. I didn't know what it was. I didn't have anybody to ask. And so by the way, we just want to tell listeners, both of the interviews are in long form, will be aired this weekend on Michigan Voices on Sunday morning here on WJR. And of course, we'll post them at WJR.com and The Great Voice.
TheGreatVoice.com for the podcast.
Yes.
And it's worth listening to and learning, like I will, because I didn't know about some of these things, and it's good to know. And Laura Bonnell, God bless her. I mean, the other woman, too, I'm sure. I don't know her, though, but Laura sacrificed her career, so to speak, to take care of her daughters, and it worked. They're still alive, and they have thrived, and that's the best news of the day, and I'm so glad you shared that with us, Marie, very, very much.
You're welcome. Proud to do it.
WJR Senior News Analyst Marie Osborne here in Focus with Paul W. Smith on WJR. All this talk about April 25th through the 27th, the NFL draft, but no one's telling us what we need to do or what we should know, and that's why we go to Chris Moyer, Senior Director Communications and Public Affairs of Visit Detroit. And he just happens to be married to also a dear friend of ours, Sarah McCush. And so I hope Sarah is good. I hope your child is good. I hope you're good, Chris.
Hey, Paul W., happy first day of spring to you, and Sarah's great, baby Alice is doing well. So now we want to talk about how great things are going to be in Detroit April 25th through the 27th.
The 2024 draft will be held at various downtown locations, including Campus Martius, Hart Plaza, Cadillac Square, and the Monroe Street Midway. Want to make it clear, if you're coming into town, and we have people listening all over the country, you better get your hotel reservation right away, because they're filling up if they haven't filled up. So in the surrounding areas, there's still some hotels. But what I want to talk specifically to people within the sound of my voice living around here and what they need to know to be able to come in. It's free, but what do we need to do to be able to come in?
Well, it is free. And today, the NFL has launched their NFL One Pass with the specific registration for the 2024 NFL Draft in Detroit. Again, a free event. And by downloading the NFL One Pass, you get access to the NFL site, both in Campus Martius, where you can watch the draft take place, and the NFL Experience right down there on the river at Hart Plaza and Spirit Plaza.
So how do we get the NFL One Pass?
Well, if you have a smartphone, whether it's an Android or an Apple or Google, you name it, you go to the the App Store in your respective smartphone, and you can download it. Now, if you don't have a smartphone, that doesn't mean you're excluded from this fantastic event. We're going to have ambassadors on site at all three gate entrances that will help people get registered so that they, too, can access the site for free.
So people like me who have a smartphone but a dumb owner should have no problem at all. You just go on to your App Store and look for NFL One Pass?
That's exactly right. And I don't think there's going to be any user error with you, Paul W., but if you have any trouble, you can always give me a call.
Thank you, Chris. You're always so kind and so helpful. So this is all people need to know, but they really should do this because where there were, 312,000 visitors in Kansas City at last year's draft, we are expecting even more people to come to our fair city to experience this. What numbers are you hearing?
Well, we're going to start with that 312,000 and know that the Metro Detroit region is bigger than the Kansas City metro region. We have a lot of very eager Lions fans ready to show up in their Honolulu blue for the event to cheer on the Lions and see how we can take it to the next level, get past the NFC Championship game and hopefully bring home a Super Bowl. In addition to that, with six NFL markets from Pittsburgh to Buffalo, Cleveland, Cincinnati, Indianapolis, and Chicago, all within a five-hour drive of Detroit, these are some very rabid fans, and we can't wait to welcome them to our beautiful city.
I see, too, Chris Moyer with us, Senior Director, Communications, Public Affairs, Visit Detroit. I see also that some people are going to be camping, pitching a tent, Sterling State Park in Monroe, Pontiac Lake Recreation Area, Waterford, Highland Recreation Area, White Lake, Brighton Recreation Area, Howell, the list goes on and on. And you can go to MIDNRReservations.com and get your campsite going. So there's all kinds of ways to enjoy this. There's probably not a Visit Detroit to hotline, but the NFL controls everything. So go online and get that NFL One Pass and get all the information right directly from the NFL. Is that the best advice, Chris?
That's the best advice to get the One Pass. But I will tell you, right on the Visit Detroit website, over the next 37 days, and that's how long it is to the draft, we're going to be continuously putting out information to get people ready to go and to have a fantastic experience with their friends and family to celebrate this incredible, momentous event in our city's history.
Is that visitdetroit.com or org?
Yes, sir. Visitdetroit.com.
Visitdetroit.com, folks, for other information, anything you might need. Enjoy this incredible experience, April 25th through the 27th. It is coming quickly. Thanks, Chris. Say hi to Sarah and Alice.
I sure will. Thanks, Paul W.
Chris Moyer, Senior Director, Communications, Public Affairs, Visit Detroit. You've heard us talk to Claude Molinari before. That's part of his team as we continue on the team, WJR. Well, that's interesting. New information out. Laughing for just 10 minutes burns approximately 50 calories. That means laughter is great exercise. So I'll try to make you laugh from time to time. Several minutes of our broadcast we'll devote to doing that. We're checking in with award-winning editorial editor of the Detroit News, Nolan Findlay. And before we start talking about what Nolan's here to talk about, I want to congratulate Gary Miles, the publisher of the Detroit News, and you, Nolan Findlay, and all the people that make up your team. For the second consecutive year, the Detroit News has been named Michigan's Newspaper of the Year by the Michigan Press Association. Congratulations.
Well, thank you, Paul. We're very proud, and we appreciate you mentioning it.
Well, I wanted to make sure. I've been carrying around this piece of that paper since Saturday. So there it is. I was able to mention it. And your column made some good sense that the president just doesn't seem to get. This is not a political statement. This is a statement of some facts that somehow our current president just doesn't get. Talk to us.
Well, we never learn any lessons from history. Paul, before this huge spending spree started when Joe Biden took office, people warned, economists warned, folks who've been around warned that this is going to be inflationary. You pump all this money into the government spending and into the economy at a time when it was already struggling to meet demand, and you're going to end up with inflation. They ignored that. They said, oh, no, you know, that's just, you know, that's just fairy tales, and that's just conservative nonsense. And so they pumped all these trillions of dollars into the economy. And what happened, Paul? Worst inflation in 40 years. And they were warned. They were warned going in.
Established economic theory.
Right.
It was established. It wasn't a political statement. And as you point out in your current column in the Detroit News, it's history, right? That they've watched what just happened, but still don't. They'll deny that they caused this inflation. Now they're going to kill us because they love how it sounds in political speak to say we're going to make sure the rich pay their fair share.
Yeah, and you know that's a winning political argument, perhaps, but it defies economic theory, and we know what's going to happen every time. And I talked to Art Laffer for the column, Dr. Laffer.
The nation's foremost living economic theorist, Arthur Laffer.
In my mind, he is. And so, you know, he said the same thing. We've tried this before. We've tried to squeeze more money out of the rich and demonize profits. And what happens? You get less of both. And when you get less of both, we've seen what happens in this town. It's a disaster for workers. During the early part of the century, when profits dried up at the big three automakers and their suppliers and what have you, 850,000 manufacturing workers lost their job. So, you know, we had to turn it around with common sense policies, and we did. And now here we go again.
It seems just unbelievable when the proof is there. You know, you take Arthur Laffer, the father of the Laffer curve. He has always been seeking to find the sweet spot where tax rates produce the most revenue while doing the least damage. And it goes back to this. It's politics. It sounds great. And people all go, oh, yeah, the rich aren't paying their fair share. That's not fair. It's the idea that you take from X, as you point out so clearly in your column, Nolan Finley, that if you take from X and give to Y, to make X a little worse off and Y a little better off, that's supposed to make everything better. That makes everything worse.
And they keep spouting this fair share nonsense. The wealthy pay more than their fair share right now. In fact, the top 1% pays almost half of the tax revenue in this country. And you know, we should have learned by now that the more money you leave in the private sector, the better it is for the economy, and the more efficiently that money is used. The more money you give to the government, the more inefficient, and the more waste. It's just not the right equation, and yet makes a good soundbite, and that's all the president cares about. It's a good soundbite, not sound economic policy.
Well, it's just unfortunate. And as you point out here and again in your column, the outlandishly false claim by the president that the richest Americans pay just 8% in income taxes is aimed at inciting a popular call for raising tax rates on top earners. As I mentioned before, when he was calling for raising the taxes on corporations, I mean, it doesn't take a genius to know who's going to end up paying that extra money to the corporations. Right. We are the people who do business with them.
That's absolutely right. And
I don't know why that's so hard to figure out.
I don't know either, Paul, but, you know, here we go down another disastrous path with this president, and we act as if, you know, there's, you know, the economy can recover from anything. And, you know,
we got to run. Nolan Finley, editorial editor, Detroit News, and congratulations again to Gary Miles, publisher, and you. And your entire team, as the Detroit News repeats, as Michigan's newspaper of the year. Way to go. Nolan? Oh, they must have brought him down. Okay, as we continue. Well, I hope you're having a beautiful